Few industries have grown as rapidly as that of technology. The past 40 years has seen the rise of the mobile phone, mobile internet communications, social networks, and super fast internet. In fact, some phones are now more powerful than some laptops. However, I am a firm believer that with the evolution of technology, and in particular the mobile phone and text language, we have somehow managed to dumb down the beauty of the English language. As a quick aside, I remember typing my first text messages and reading my mum's first text messages too. Not familiar with the newfangled device, but oh so keen to use it, my mum took a while to master the keys, and it was a while before messages that were an endless string of letters became more legible as mum discovered the space key. And for the recipient, understanding was transformed. But back to the subject at hand. When working in the university, I would open many an email from students written in colloquial text language, rather than adopting the standard form. On numerous occasions, I would read an email, LOL, and wondered why I was suddenly the popular object of affection, until Julie informed that LOL meant laugh out loud and not lots of love. When TTYL, talk to you later, started to appear, I confessed to being irritated at having to Google the latest initialisms to make sense of the content. I have even seen the use of text language on job applications, a good example of where intention and outcome firmly parted ways. How we articulate ourselves matters. Hearing "love ya" from someone you have a deep romantic attachment to simply does not carry the same degree of intensity as hearing "I love you." So have we standardized meaningless exchanges and made intention void of feeling? In 2005, the Australian Bible Society came up with the idea of sending out Bible texts by phone, in slang. A spokesperson, Mr. Chant, said, "The idea is the Bible can be used and be relevant and up to date, just like getting a verse of the day or reading a horoscope." For those of you who are reading along online, then you have some examples of their interpretations, and you can pause it here whilst you read and then unpause to come back. Whilst I am all for exploring different ways to share the gospel, the Bible is very clear about how we treat his word. In Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 to 6, we read, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Utt thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." We also read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." God has made it explicitly clear that we are not to add or remove from his words. The works of literary giants like Shakespeare and Chaucer have stood the test of time because their words have been untampered with and appreciated in their original form. When we Frankenstein the English language, we lose the beauty of intent, fluidity and expression, nuances are overwritten, and emphasis is lost. The same is true of the Bible, but even more so, as the authors were divinely inspired. Therefore, to add or remove from biblical text is to assume that God is deficient in purpose. When the author of Psalm 18, 2, verses 2 to 3 wrote, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. He was conveying in earnest what God means to him. The cadence of this would be lost in translation if the words were diluted. Take these words as they are. Really digest and absorb them, and you will see how the Holy Spirit breathes power into them when embraced in thought and lived with purpose. When God tells us in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. God wants to provide comfort and reassurance. These words have lifted my spirits during dark moments and reminded me of how precious I am to my Heavenly Father. There is power in these words. You might be at a point in your life where you are struggling to read God's words, so I pray you can draw comfort from knowing that God was very deliberate in telling you that He loves you with an everlasting love, the kind of love that does not diminish, change, or falter. I encourage you to really think on Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 and see by the end of the week how your perspective has changed. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for being a God of intention. Your word is there for guidance, correction, reproof, and encouragement. Please open my heart to hear what you are trying to tell me in its purest form. Amen.